Meta sues the FTC, AWS makes you more competent, and Exchange servers are vulnerable. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode is presented by RejectionCon.
RejectionCon is upon us. It's almost here, December 12, 13, 14. Go to RejectionCon.com. Right there is where it is. That is the link. It's a pay-what-you-can model. Do you got $0? Come on in. But I'm asking you to give more. Why would Wes be asking you to pay more? 100% of conference pass proceeds go to the Rural Tech Fund. Investing in underprivileged communities inside the United States. Revolutionizing the lives of children and their families by giving them a new hope and a new future. RejectionCon is about the rejected ones. It's about the square pegs and round holes. Look at some of these talks right here. We've got so many awesome talks, never heard before content. So get in on this. RejectionCon.com, December 12, 13, 14. I'll see you there.
Good morning and welcome to the December 5th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. Incredible weekend. Reading news back and forth, oscillating between my, my neurotic paranoia and gratitude for the community. Back to the neurotic paranoia, which is just but the amazing community. That back to my neurotic paranoia. How the heck are you doing?
I'm good. I had the weirdest rabbit hole yesterday on Amazon. I know, me searching Amazon, what a surprise. So I have a standing fan in my office, a 16-inch stand, or in my house, a standing fan is 16 inches.
I'm just going to interrupt you right there. I was like, so you, like, you literally have, like, because I watch you when you're at trade shows, people literally line up to say hello. So I'm like, so a fan comes in and just stands there and waits for you to be done and stand. I love it. I have a standing fan.
It's not like to be the Indian with cover word. It's a 16-inch fan. It's
just your fan base is, there's a sitting fan. They're not, no. The sitting, they've been there for a while, but the standing fan, I'll get to you in a moment.
Okay, yeah, Simon's been there a while. No. So, I have a standing fan in my bedroom because I like to sleep like a polar bear, and it broke. No big deal. It's a standing fan. How complicated could this be, right? So, unfortunately, because it's me and I'm extra, I have it on a smart plug, so I could say Schmamexa fan on, and she turns on the power to the outlet. But because it's a fan with a remote, because every fan in the world at this point has a remote and multiple and electronics. It doesn't turn on the fan. It just turns on power to the fan. It doesn't remember the last state. And if you ever try to search for last power state memory on Amazon, good luck. So I was looking for a fan with zero electronics, and I'll let the switch do its job. That also doesn't exist in 2023. I was able to find, for $141, an 18-inch Alexa-enabled circulating fan. And that's what I had to buy to solve my current need.
So you're trying to get away from technology because it's just, you want a simple mechanical, it's on
that's
or off.
That's all I'm looking for. Mechanical, that's it. Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist.
Perfectly to our audience. Sometimes to the MSP community, you just got to dazzle them with the basics. It is fascinatingly well appreciated sometimes. You dazzle them with the basics and
somewhere in our MMN Discord, Kevin or somebody's going to pipe in, oh, you can just make a fan. Here's the 17-step process. And I did it using a 3D printer.
No, Matt's going to come in and say, well, and here's how you mount the fan with the 3D printing. Here's the STL files. Yeah.
But you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to tell us to get into the news.
Oh, I will. Let's get into the news.
In my first top story, over 20,000 vulnerable Microsoft Exchange servers exposed to attacks, written by Ionut Iasco for Bleeping Computer. More than 20,000 Microsoft Exchange email servers in Europe, the US, and Asia are accessible on the internet and are at risk of remote code execution due to running unsupported versions. Recent scans by the Shadow Server Foundation showed almost 20,000 accessible Microsoft Exchange servers at their end-of-life stage. However, Macnica security researcher Yutaka Sejiyama uncovered over 30,000 servers reaching end of support status. As of late November, over half of these servers are located in Europe, 6,038 in North America, and 2,241 in Asia. In addition, Sejiyama identified almost 1,800 exposed exchange systems prone to proxy logon, proxy shell, or proxy token vulnerabilities, all of which we've reported on here on MSP Dispatch. Despite most vulnerabilities lacking a critical severity score, Microsoft labels them as important with the exception of exploited proxy logon chain. They are seen as more likely to be exploited. Tony, I think the takeaway here is, why are there so many exchange servers? What the hell?
Hey,
I know you have experience in this, but what the hell, dude?
Okay, so let's rewind just for everyone's edification. I was one of the first releases of multi-tenant hosted exchange. Technically, I kind of invented it, but it was invented by, I believe, my personal opinion, four companies within a 28-day period, literally receiving their SPLA agreement, the first four SPLA licenses from Microsoft in 41 days. That being said, we had racks and racks and racks of exchange servers, and I know them backwards and forwards, and every single time someone mentions it, you notice a twitch, you can actually hear the ding, because my group therapists, all of them, because I rotate between them for this particular topic, are saying, oh, we're going to make some more money. Some people are talking about Microsoft Exchange. There's the background. That being said, I want to point out that sometimes when something works, just let it work. Sometimes things aren't working, but since the optics of it, the topical representation, doesn't illustrate the massive vulnerability and at risk, that's the undercurrent of below, because you can't see that far, it just works. And this is maybe one of those scenarios where Microsoft is now saying, hey, listen, we're going to end of life the standalone exchange environment, and I'm wondering how they're going to do it. I've been wondering about this for the last 10 years. I believe that this is going to be analogous to the old Linux servers that were set and forget, and there's tens of thousands of them as well, that people think, hey, I'll set it, forget it, and don't worry about it. They're a major threat to the industry as a whole. But to answer your question, Ray, it works. It serves an email. I can send out email. I can receive email. There's nothing wrong with it. Why would I change it if it just works? And oh, by the way, I paid for the license.
Okay. So you're one of four companies that invented this stuff within 28 days. How many exchange servers do you have today?
Oh, I can't. I have a visceral reaction when I hear that someone has an exchange server. Why? The first question I ask is, so just to be clear, you have power generators. You don't connect to the public grid for your power, right? You have power generators because that's not available or anything. Or there's no banking system. You put all your cash in under your mattress, right? And you have your own water well and you pump that out with your own filtration because there's no public water system, right? I think we're saying the same thing.
It's okay. Microsoft 365 has only been around since 2011. So why would you use a hosted product from the company that makes it? And yes, I get it. QuickBooks Online users are screaming. QuickBooks desktop users are saying, over my dead body. I get that. That is not the same thing. Exchange. Remind me again, what's the single greatest factor for compromise? It's business email compromise? That is the highest rate of infections, is it not? So stop it, people. Do better. That's all I'm saying. Do better.
Now you're just being logical, man. You listen, next thing you know, you're going to actually start suggesting to people that maybe you should just refer to your MSP to implement the security policies. Maybe you should stop having your coworker's son come in and implement an IT solution, and that's managing your small to medium business organization because it's cheap. That's what you're going to suggest.
You're saying your neighbor's kid can't do it? You know what? I wouldn't mind the neighbor's kid working on my computers if they had some kind of certification or competency, maybe from a big three-letter company. You got anything around that could help us?
I got you covered. Let's talk about it. Jumping into my first main story from channel E2E.com, story by Ty Trumbull. AWS launches the Cyber Insurance Competency and Resilience Competency programs to improve cybersecurity and operational resilience, with a focus on supporting small and medium-sized businesses. Launched at the reInvent conference, these programs aim to make it easier for businesses to get cyber insurance and enhance workload resilience through AWS Cloud and its partners. The Cyber Insurance Competency Program supports SMBs in securing affordable cyber insurance by integrating security assessments via AWS Security Hub. The Resilience Competency Program assists businesses, particularly SMBs, in strengthening operational resilience by engaging specialized AWS partners for consulting and engineering services. Overall, these initiatives aim to simplify the cyber insurance process and enhance workload resilience using AWS Cloud and its partner ecosystem. Ray, I am liking this. Here is what I believe I'm saying. AWS is making things easier. Cyber insurance is not easy. They are now connecting the two. Am I missing something? And they're addressing the SMB audience. This isn't just for the enterprise. Am I missing something here? Am I seeing something good, or is this just a mirage?
This doesn't make sense to me, because we all know users won't use MFA. They won't use a password manager. They won't log out of their systems. They don't reboot their systems nightly. Users refuse to listen to every MSP I've ever talked to. Users won't do this stuff. So I can't imagine why a multi-billion dollar company like Amazon would develop this whole suite of programs and training and accreditation for users that won't do this. I can't imagine. Or
there's no market.
There's no market. Or maybe MSPs have this a little backwards, and maybe finding the invested business owners, the ones that are invested in protecting themselves, that's the right kind of client. And maybe when you have the right kind of client, it lowers your own risk, because they're also more protected because they're more invested in this. If I was an MSP, I would almost offer a discount monthly if my clients got this.
Whoa. First off, we're talking about no market opportunity to train users on security. There's no real value in, getting an assistant with cybersecurity, the acquisition, the maintenance, maybe the more efficient process getting there. Oh, shit. Well, you know what? You can hear the dogs barking.
The dog's excited. I get it. I would be too.
Wait, hold on. Let me repeat that. A trailer hit. We have a speed bump like on our street, and people forget that it's there. And sometimes people fly through and you actually see them launching. And it took out one of the trailers one time, went off and took out our mailbox. Like, it destroyed our whole mailbox. But don't get me wrong, it is funny. Like, because I'm mad. I'm mad, but I'm like, okay, one more time.
But also, yeah.
Yes, yeah, but also. So what happened was, okay. Ray, I'm really confused here. You are promoting something that there is no audience for education in the security world. There's no money in that, because why would you save money on something? There's not even a security risk out there. I don't understand your argument here. This is where we kind of do the hashtag sarcasm for everyone out there. I am so happy about this, Ray. This is AWS jumping in, like government, like the multinational organization saying, hey, listen, we have to do something about AI framework. We have to do something about cybersecurity, like state-sponsored cybersecurity and accountability. Yeah. This is a Goliath jumping in saying, we are going to do something to help educate the people and get them cybersecurity insurance. And we're going to start with the SMB market.
And I didn't see anything in here about cost. Did you?
I did not.
AWS they have a tendency to give away these programs. Several members of my staff have gotten certified on different AWS programs they don't charge a penny for.
Well, it's because they mentioned very specifically they're working with inside the AWS ecosystem. So by doing this, that could be the conduit to, let's just say, working with the tools that are existing that they've, you know, went through the training with. Of course, they could find third party tools, but if you why would you deviate from something that you know and you learned, and you can, if you have to go back and ask questions, you can ask the person that didn't charge you money, that trained you on something that you understand. I personally think that's a brilliant move.
I love it. And I mean exactly what I say. I'm not a fan of charging. We've all talked about, you know, we've all had the conversations, the charging the client a PETA tax, right? A pain in the butt tax. We've done that, or they refuse to enable something for security, and most MSPs will charge them extra because they're, that's not my style personally. But if I were to be an MSP today that would talk to people, that would allow clients to not subscribe to my full stack, then if that was the case, I would definitely provide financial incentive for doing so. Charge the highest rate. If you're just going to do, you know, treat it like the Wild Wild West. If you're going to do my SAT trainings, if you're going to do use MFA, if I'm going to have above 90% keeper adoption or whatever, password manager, just not LastPass. And if you want to know why, go check out the last 300 episodes. You know, but same thing. If they have AWS, get whoever their AWS engineer is or whatever it is and get involved. And if you can get them certified, charge a little less. Give them a little discount and reinforce the behavior.
Insurance, 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 accountability. Make sure you are protected in case something does happen. That is very unfortunate. But even if you're insured, something bad happens, you can always sue them. And I think the next story is talking about that. Ray, kick it off.
That's right, Tony. Anybody can sue anybody, and Meta is taking a page from the lady that sued McDonald's for the hot coffee, and they're throwing a lawsuit at the FTC. Meta sues FTC to block new restrictions on monetizing kids' data, written by Lawrence Bonk for Engadget. Instagram parent Meta has sued the Federal Trade Commission to prevent the reopening of a $5 billion privacy settlement from 2020. And from banning the social media giant from monetizing kids' data across Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Filed in a Washington federal court on Thursday, the lawsuit argues that the FTC's actions are an obvious power grab, accusing the agency of acting as both prosecutor and judge. This follows a judge's decision allowing the FTC to expand on the 2020 settlement and propose new rules, including limitations on facial recognition and on monetizing data of users under 18. If approved, these limitations could greatly affect Meta's data-centric operations, especially its efforts to attract younger users and venture into new areas like virtual reality. Tony, look, I'm not a Meta apologist. Zuck has done a lot of stuff to deserve everything he's gotten. At the same time, this was settled 3 years ago. Is it fair to open it back up and say, yeah, we're adding to this, even though it wasn't part of the original scope? It's literally scope creep. I mean, what say you on this?
I feel like we are in a world now that is truly highlighting the ability to exercise legal artificial delays to a process to ironically circumvent the very legal system as it was set up to protect us. And it's, hey, we'll address it in 5 years and in 3 years, you know, 2 years, in 3 years, in 5 years. And then the original people are, they're dead. But you know what's still there? That particular legal issue. Now, granted, quite a bit of money has, the expense has been accrued during that time, but sometimes maybe the juice is worth the squeeze. Sometimes just kind of like a car recall being more expensive than the injuries and the lawsuits associated just means let the injuries happen until you have to do the lawsuits and where that XY axis cross. Maybe this is one of those scenarios that they're recognizing that the lawsuit isn't as expensive as the end result. So they're just going to continue to fight it. So I'm wondering what the driver was, basically. What happened to cause this? And then what happens after that? And is there going to be a massive change to the processes inside Meta? Were we not seeing something that they were planning to do that this is preventing? What are your thoughts on this? I mean, we could talk about this for quite a while. It's hypothetical, but it is curious that they're bringing it back up.
Yeah, it's curious. It does. Look, I'm not going to say the FTC doesn't have their mind in the right place. I absolutely agree with protecting the children. Think of the children. I'm 100% behind that. This does scream abuse of power to me. I'm just going to lay, I don't like the precedent it sets when we solve something 3 years ago and start tacking back on. As you said, this country is extremely litigious. There's no reason in the world the FTC couldn't have just imposed new fines or gone off them with a new action. And it probably, in the current climate, probably would have gone really well. I think they overplayed their hand. And I think what they probably were looking at is an easy way to add some protections to an existing framework, I think kind of bit them in the ass. I don't know. I'm so vehemently against anybody being able to reopen a lawsuit and just tack onto it. You can appeal. There's absolutely a court of appeals. You have other legal remedies. The FTC could have done a whole lot, including they could have sued to reopen the case as well if they found there was new information. Now, realistically, they probably would not have done that because it would jeopardize the original ruling and you'd have to reopen everything. So it's not a smart play to do so, which again, I think they're doing mental hoops. They're jumping through stuff or litigious hoops. And I'm not a fan. Bad on you, FTC. Do better.
I feel like our legal system doesn't have the rigidity that it had before and the finality. And it's like we're, you know, you're watching a legal process as playing pool with a rope. It's like, it's there, but it's not really there.
What happened was not the spirit of, but you know what's always reliable, always understandable? Our notables.
I love the notables. Let's do it. In my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, a story from Sergio Gatlan, Apple has addressed 2 zero-day vulnerabilities affecting iOS, iPadOS, and macOS devices, bringing the total patched to 20 this year. Discovered in the WebKit browser engine by Google's Tag Clement Lacine, the flaws CVE-2023-42916 and CVE-2023-42917 allowed attackers to exploit out-of-bound read weaknesses and execute arbitrary code through crafted web pages. Apple released security update for iOS 17.1.2 and iPadOS 17.1.2 and macOS Sonoma 14.1.2 and Safari 17.1.2. While there's no confirmation of active exploitation, Google's tag researchers often discover and disclose zero-day exploits linked to state-sponsored surveillance targeting high-profile individuals. In my next notable mention from TechCrunch.com from Ivan Mehta, Evernote has officially implemented its new default free plan, limiting users to 50 notes and one notebook, starting December 4th. The new restriction, applicable to all free users, both new and existing, allow users with more than 50 notes to export additional notes and notebooks. On its blog post, Evernote indicated that these restrictions would be reflected on its Compare Plans page, although details on changes, limits, or pricing for other plans were not provided. The change follows a test involving less than 1% of free users designed to promote subscriptions to higher limit plans based on $14.99 and $17.99 per month.
In my first notable mention, new P2P Infect botnet MIPS variant targeting routers and IoT devices, written by The Hacker Newsroom. Cybersecurity researchers have identified a new variant of P2P Infect botnet, expanding its capabilities for being built for MIPS architecture. Initially disclosed in July 2023, P2P Infect is a Rust-based malware that exploited a Lua sandbox escape vulnerability in unpatched Redis instances. The latest variant employs advanced evasions and anti-analysis techniques, executing SSH brute force attacks on devices with 32-bit MIPS processors. It actively checks for analysis attempts and can terminate itself, utilizing defense evasion methods. Moreover, the inclusion of a 64-bit Windows DLL module for Redis and the use of Rust suggests the involvement of a sophisticated threat actor. In my second notable mention, Reddit updates, a look after a rough 6 months and ahead of a possible IPO. Written by Sharon Harding for Ars Technica. Reddit has unveiled a new look in its latest branding updates, featuring a 3D version of its mascot, Snoo, and introducing new typefaces called Reddit Display and Reddit Sans. The changes aim to better reflect the evolving user base and enhance global engagement. The redesign includes new conversation bubble colors like lime green and juniper blue to provide a more distinct brand look, totally not copying Apple and Google. This comes amid rumors of Reddit's potential IPO in 2024, with reported talks underway with investors. Despite the visual updates, Reddit faces ongoing community dissatisfaction from recent policy changes, suggesting the new branding serves as a strategy to boost the platform's overall appeal. Here's my two cents. Add the API back. And our resource of the week is RejectionCon 2023. From December 12th through the 14th, it's a virtual conference for the rejected ones. Every talk initially rejected finds a redemption here. RejectionCon offers not only learning and collaboration, but also supports a good cause. Every dollar received contributes to the Rural Tech Fund. Centered on MSP content, the conference promises an action-packed week with no talk left behind, ensuring a platform for all rejected sessions. Join the Rejects for an MSP revolution and be part of a unique community-driven event with a mission to do good at RejectionCon.com.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Starting today and running through tomorrow, an in-person event, Women of the Channel in New York City. And also tomorrow, another in-person event, Next Gen MSP Local Events in Mesa, Arizona. And then also tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Grow Virtual Workshop Day 1, presented by Synchro. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have later today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Wins and Losses is back for episode 14. And then on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern, we've got another episode of AI Roundup for you. And also on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Partner First is back for a webinar about transforming client contracts from necessary evil to strategic asset. Are you engrossed by the intriguing world of AI? Do you find yourself relying more on ChatGPT every day? Are you fascinated by creating visuals with Midjourney or Stable Diffusion? Or could it be you're contemplating the deep-seated implications AI has for your professional field? If you're struggling to keep abreast of all the AI developments, don't worry. I'm Phil Buck, the host of AI Roundup, a weekly digest of all things AI. Make sure to check in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern for a concise roundup of the most captivating AI news right here on the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go and hit it 3, 5, 7 times. You know the deal. And if you want to hear more, go and hit the subscribe button on the YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You didn't? Have you been paying attention? You can go ahead and propose your own stories, even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we got lawsuits. We got notables. We have AWS certifications. We got insurance reductions, maybe an MSP fee reduction. And no trigger words today. So that's a win. You will not find our training material. Actually, yeah, you will. We put it in the show notes. We put the links to all the stories.
You can go on Discord server and just, hey, do you have the training material? Yes, I do. That's not a bot. That's actually us. That was a good stories today. Good stories, as always. I mean, the community is constantly moving. There are so many things that are happening at a global, universal level, down to our small ecosystems, even down to the small customer base. But I think we are starting to gather a very specific cadence and a trend. We can almost start predicting the turbulence that's coming among us. But this community could not be better.
And shut down your damn Exchange servers. Just saying. If you're watching this show and you have Exchange servers, please.
Don't call me. I'm not going to help you. so much time helping people sunset tens of thousands of customers around the world. Literally myself calling, hey, is everything going? Okay, we're working on it. We're working on it. Yes, please
give me your Exchange. That's MSP Dispatch's trigger word right there. Exchange. All right. With that, everybody, take care of yourselves and each other. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Oh, bye.
been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
So, you're on mute. You're on mute.
Yeah, I'm on mute because the amount of cursing I would do is not allowed by the FCC, sir. Yes, it is a protection mechanism. I mean, I'm just saying. These are things that our audience wants to know, and personally, what I want to know, as I'm looking, I'm totally not looking for the show notes to find out what your next story is. oh, I got that was a perfect lead-in. I got you. All right.